Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to Air Temple Island, your new home.
Who do you think you are?
Got an idea about who I am now, chumps?
I'm the Avatar. You gotta deal with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
She's the perfect messenger to tell the city of my power.
This mucko's got moxie.
Name's Bolin, by the way. Bolin's got some moves, huh?
I will make no such promises.
I once bested a man with my trusty boomerang who was able to firebend with his mind.
The morning is evil.
We shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I've been dying to ask you, what happened to Zuko's mom?
It is time for you to be equalized.
What?
And the solution.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Today's minicasts are fairly specialized discussions, so I'm going to give you the time so you can skip ahead or go back or whatever you want to do, depending on which you want to listen to. The first of the two is an AMV or FanVids discussion hosted by Jeff. There's also some background noise, which I apologize for in that podcast, but it's still very listenable too. You can find that immediately following this message. And then the second minicast is a discussion on obscure core ships, which you can find at the 54-minute, 30-second mark of this audio file. It is really humorous and not all that serious, so you can skip to that discussion if you want. Listen to the AMVs, listen to both. So here's the AMV discussion by Jeff.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra podcast. If you want an extensive, in-depth discussion on Korra from longtime knowledgeable fans of Avatar and longtime fandom members, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your main host, Jeff, and today I am joined by Josh.
Hey, everybody.
Crystal.
Hello.
Delaney.
Hello.
Ryan.
Hola.
And Haley.
Hello.
Let's actually go through and we can each say our DF names. So I'm Serpent Guard on the forums.
I'm Josh, and I Mourn the Wicked.
I'm Crystal, and I'm Crystal Light 4267.
I'm Ryan, and I'm Toasty.
I'm Haley, and it's Hey HAYY 6747.
I'm Sergeant Nerd at Arms.
Good. Okay. So that is all of us. So this is a mini cast where we discuss a single Avatar or Korra topic for a brief time. You can email us at dylan@dongbufeng.net. and post on the forums at dongbufeng.net/forums. On this podcast, we will be discussing Avatar AMVs. So that's technically a misnomer because anime music videos does not apply to Avatar. However, in my head, I refer to them as Avatar music videos, so the acronym still applies. It's all good.
Avatar music videos.
Yes, that is it. AMVs. Alright, so we're going to go through, talk about what we've done with music videos, whether we've curated them or created a few ourselves, plug ourselves or our favorite AMV creators, talk about software, what makes good videos good and bad videos bad, and we'll have some fun. So, let's go through. I am Serpent Guard, as I said, and I used to make music videos all the time. You can find me on YouTube at SerpentGuardian1701. It's all lowercase, all one word. So I'm on YouTube, and I make Avatar videos, one Halo video, some Matrix videos, Riverdance. Anyone else on here who's made videos before and have a channel?
I've made a single video. It's a very, how do I put this? It's for a very narrow audience. It's a Tang video. I will post the link to it on the forum if anybody wants it.
Anyone else? I think that was it, but anyone else have any videos they've made?
I just have like a 10-second video of onion and banana juice because I couldn't find it anywhere.
That is that. All right. Any favorite artists? I know we've all got our own.
Raven.
Yes.
There we go. That's the big good one. For reference, anyone have the actual exact username?
Cause it's yes, weird. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
It's Raven HPLTC242. That's her YouTube username. I could put that on the forum too, since so you don't have to go back and try to listen for it again. But that's it. This probably should just be a favorite Raven video segment instead of a.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Everyone list your favorite videos. Because I like Cells. Cells is my favorite of hers.
That's my favorite.
My favorite is the. It's just called Avatar Series Finale Trailer. I really love the music. The music and her use of the Asian characters' calligraphy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And
I really
and
like
the artist who helped her with those pieces. Maybe it was that video, maybe a different one, but there was some video where there was, you know, between shots, there was some artistic rendition or something.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure if it's the same one.
Oh, okay.
But in the one I'm talking about, it's just like the silhouettes of the Asian characters for the one-word themes that she keeps using, like hope and valor and everything.
Right.
And, like calligraphy.
Yes, very good stuff. Anyone else?
I have three favorites.
Go for it.
Cells, and then the trailer that Josh was talking about, and New Beginnings. I really like that one.
New Beginnings. I forget the music she uses on that one. Oh, well, it's still good, because it's her, so. Good stuff. Okay, besides Raven, Raven's obviously the most well-known artist in the field, but
yeah, she's epic.
Yes.
There's a really good video I rediscovered tonight just to add some variety. It's called Fight Through the Fire. In the title it says it was the best in show at Connecticon 2009.
I found that one too.
Yeah, it's by the username is ChowBunny12. It's a really really good video. The editing, the effects are just on a whole other level, and they're not. It really goes for broke on the effects, but it doesn't suffer from being bogged down by effects. If you know what I mean, like there's the good balance.
Yeah, totally, and that's something I've seen in a few videos that's made him suffer is just effects all over the place and no sense of restraint with that. Well, that's a good segue into the next bit we want to talk about, which is favorite software to make. So, Ryan, Josh, and I are the ones who have made videos, Avatar music videos, I should say. If any of the other Crystal, Delaney, or Haley have made videos of any kind, you know, feel free to chime in with your thoughts. For myself, when I make videos, I use iMovie HD 6. Never got into the whole iMovie 8 redesign, but you know, it's pretty effect sparse, but I like it. It gets the job done. How about you guys?
For the video I made, I used a program called CyberDirector. It's a mid-range program. It's really light on its effects, so you won't really want to use that program if you're looking for effects. It was a really lightweight program that helped me get done what I needed to get done.
Nice. Cool. And Ryan, you mentioned you made a little 10-second video.
Yeah, I didn't really make it so much as just record.
Oh.
So I didn't use a lot of software.
Cool.
Yeah. If we want to go ahead, if we want to just talk about more software.
Let's do it, yeah.
Windows Movie Maker is just terrible. Can we all just agree?
Yes. It's not very good.
I mean, it fails on so many levels. First of all being that it's nearly impossible to get any videos of substantial size loaded into the program to be able to use. And then functionality is a nightmare when you're trying, once you've gotten the video in there. And then when you're watching videos on YouTube, you guys can probably all attest to this, you can tell which ones are made by Movie Maker because they all have that same font on the bumpers when they have the words on the screen. They all have the same font.
Yeah, like how the words are scrolling across in different directions or whatever. And
yeah.
Totally music video. I have to confess, though, I did make my first video with that program.
So do I. That's how I made my videos for years.
Because I didn't have a Mac yet, so.
No, go ahead. I've talked enough.
I make, a lot of different types of videos, and, right now, Windows Movie Maker is the only editing software I have until I get, something else, and it frustrates me. It's, you can't hardly do anything on it. It's really limited, Josh said. It's just, it's a piece of crap, to put it blatantly.
Yeah. And, I mean, if we want to go the other direction now, there's programs like, what Jeff was referencing, iMovie, and I know another one that's really popular is Final Cut. I've never used Final Cut, so I don't really know a whole lot about it. The other program that's really a high-end program that I've had experience with is Sony Vegas.
I was going to ask if anyone here uses that, because I haven't, but I've also heard
it that. It's the program that Raven uses, I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
It's a really great program. It's kind of like Photoshop, where you almost need to take a class in the software to really understand how to use it to your advantage. But what I found with Vegas was that it was almost too powerful for my computer to be able to use. The computer I was using at the time when I was interested in making these it didn't have the highest CPU processing power and it didn't have the highest RAM. So using a really heavy program like Vegas really bogged down, and it was almost impossible to get the clips that I needed into the program to be able to start editing. So that's why I had to eventually go back down to using CyberDirector, was because it was the only program that I could find that I could use on my computer and still have high enough quality to be able to make the video.
Good points. So you said you have experience with, or you've used Final Cut Pro before, or haven't you?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I've used Final Cut a lot.
Okay. And from Josh's description of Sony Vegas, I mean, I'm curious how Final Cut Pro and Sony Vegas match up. So what's your experience with using it?
I was actually in a class. That's how I started using it. I had, people there to help me with it, and once you get the hang of it, it's really easy to use, but there are a lot of things that are really difficult to understand, like Vegas. I've looked at the format of Vegas and Final Cut, and they look kind of similar, so I just I'm assuming that they work in a lot of similar ways. Mm-hmm. But just Final Cut is really good program to use.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'd like to use something more advanced, but I'm cheap and really.
It works really well.
Yeah.
Going back to my Photoshop comparison, since I took a class in Photoshop, I was able to. I've learned a lot about it, and I can use it pretty well. But a lot there when you get a huge program like Sony Vegas or Photoshop CS3 or CS4. There's so many tools that you'll never use. It's almost, it's a really professional-grade product. So, I mean, there's a lot of fun toys to use, but it's not completely necessary to buy a huge, expensive program like that. If you're just making videos for fun or, you just want to get started in video editing.
Okay. Neat. Any other thoughts on software? I think we covered it pretty well. This is another great segue into the next topic we want to talk about, experience making music videos. So the reason I don't feel the need to spring for something more nice than iMovie is because when I make music videos, I don't focus on effects so much as cut to the beat editing, meaning transitions on beats to the music, and even trying to get the combat or actions in a scene to match up with the beat of the music. That to me is, for myself, it's like the most important part of a music video. I mean, I know there's plenty other criteria, but that's what I really go for.
Yeah.
Go for it, yeah. Haley.
I definitely agree. I've seen a lot of different music videos that have just like overused on the effects and not like have focused on the transitions and the cuts, and they're really sloppy, and you can tell that it's just it looks like it didn't take a lot of time, like it like you need to be doing on stuff like this.
Absolutely. Ryan, you were gonna say something, or?
Oh, I just completely agree. It's like the key to being immersed in the music and the video at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's why I really don't use effects that much. Josh, what are some experiences you've had making videos? Any tips, pointers?
So when I started working on my video, I went to the internet first, not just on YouTube, but I was seeking out, guides and, not really instructions, but just something to help me get started. And, I was kind of overwhelmed with my project. I didn't really know how to get started. What I found was this incredible guide. It's outdated by probably 7 or 8 years now, but so some of the things that she mentions or he or she mentions are kind of outdated, and you can tell when you read it, but all of the big ideas are really great, and so that really helped me get started. So I kind of compiled a short summary / bullet points of stuff that I took directly from that, and then things that I learned specifically when I was making my video. You guys feel free to interject in these and add your own thoughts, because there's probably 6 or 7 points here that I had. The first one we already covered, which was don't use Movie Maker. Mid-range programs like CyberDirector are pretty good, and iMovie. And if you want to use effects in an impressive way, then Final Cut and Sony Vegas are probably definitely the way to go. Another big thing that she talked about was using DVDs, if possible, because it helps to avoid having the logos on the screen, like the Nickelodeon logo in the corner, or the countdown to the comet graphic.
Or like when SpongeBob pops on the screen.
Yeah, that it helps to avoid that kind of stuff. And the footage capture is better than a digital copy, so you're guaranteed the best resolution available. Obviously, Avatar's not out on Blu-ray, but DVD quality is really good.
And having it consistent.
Yeah, right. That's it. Because like that was something I struggled with in my video, because I didn't have the DVD. I was forced to get footage elsewhere. So some shots are really clean and they look good, and then it cuts to like the scene with Toph pushing the rock down the wall at Aang, and it's like TVY7 and Nickelodeon, that kind of silly stuff.
When a watermark just jump all around.
And it just totally takes me out of my video, and I'd like to maybe go back and redo some of it someday, but I don't have enough time anymore. The next thing I thought... Oh, go ahead.
Also, like, when you're not using a DVD, there's, like, people have, like, had, like, footage in there that's really blurry, and it's, like, not a really clear picture, because they got it from, like another website, and it's just, like, it goes from, like, a blurry shot to, like, a really clear one. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
can't really tell the difference.
It's like downloaded from avatarchapters.org.
Yeah.
You're right. I forgot to mention, or maybe I did, but I didn't really give it enough attention. This guide was written by Fade, which is PHADE, on animemusicvideos.org. I can post that in the forums, too, if you want.
You should totally read it, because it made me feel slightly smart going into this, that I know some tech stuff.
So it's incredible for beginners that don't know where to start. Speaking of starting, my next thing is start with the idea of the video. If you don't mind, I'll just read verbatim what I wrote. If there is a song you want to use, listen to it over and over again and imagine the footage you want to use in your head before you start going to look for it. That way you know you'll have the footage to use at a bare minimum, and then when you start importing the episodes into your editing software, you're likely to find even more footage that than you need, and you'll find stuff that you can use that you didn't. That shot will look really great with this downbeat here. The important part.
Absolutely, I can vouch for that. I mean, the last video I made was a Halo music video, and honestly, months and months prior to actually sitting down and making it, I was listening to this song and just, you know, fitting pieces together that I knew came from trailers and stuff, and so when I finally got together, it was just filling in the cracks with some shots from other trailers, and it turned out really nice.
Yeah, and a little bit of background on me is I'm a music ed major, so music is kind of my thing. So that's where it's really important for me. I knew a song, and I was like, I really want to tell a story with this song, using this show. It's kind of like what Mel, what Mel said in the Amon Tarlok podcast about when you're writing a story, you don't start with the plot and then fill in the characters. It's the same sort of thing. You don't start with the story, or you don't start with using the characters from the show. You start with the idea, and you start with, the idea and the story you want to tell, and then you fill it in with the video. Yeah. Go ahead.
Otherwise, it's really disjointed, and you end up with this really awesome character in the beginning, and then at the end, what? That's his ending? Of course, I'm referencing Amon. And I was going to speak up and say something about that, because in my experience of writing a book, you can't do that. You can't just, I'm going to do this and throw this in there. You have to have an entire idea in your head.
And this kind of merges with the last one. Is know your music intimately. Like I said, the music's my thing, so I really this is really important for me when I'm watching videos. Is you want to know where your dynamic changes are, whether it's a slow crescendo, or if it's a subito dynamic change going from piano to forte really fast. Important downbeats. The starts of new measures, the starts of new sections of the piece, moments of variety, harmonic shifts, and that can be either going from major to minor or key changes and modulations, and use the music to your advantage instead of trying to tell the whole story with effects and your video.
Do you fit it to... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I, have an example of this. If any of you guys are, Hunger Games fans, I don't know if you are, I'm a big Hunger Games person. There was, a Hunger Games trailer released before the movie, and it had one of the songs from the soundtrack, Safe and Sound by Taylor Swift, and it's a really slow song, but it was matched with footage of, the volunteer scene and a bunch of, action-y stuff where... the song is really slow, and you can... It's almost, comical, if you know what I mean.
That can also be used effectively, though, even in Avatar, the Zuko Azula scene, the final fight. I understand what you're saying. I haven't seen that particular trailer, but I know what you're saying, that you need to pick music that fits, or you need to pick footage that fits the music that you're writing, but sometimes contrast also helps.
Yeah. Just use it to your advantage instead of I'm just going to throw this song because I like this song and these clips together because I like these clips. You have to make sure they fit together, mesh, otherwise people aren't going to want to watch your video.
Which is what a lot of people do.
If you're making the video for yourself, then obviously you do what you want. But if you're looking for your video to be, popular and start making a name for yourself and get more views on YouTube, then you really can't rely on personal taste and say, I like this, so obviously a lot of other people are going to like this.
Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, that's when I make videos, that's all I have to go on is what I like, and I just hope that other people like it too.
That's true.
You don't want to cater to other people's needs. You're making it, and you're going to spend 3 weeks trying to make this video, so.
But, it's kind of an inside joke. It's kind of like telling an inside joke in front of a bunch of friends, right, or that don't know the joke.
Indeed.
So just be conscious of that. I guess we could say. I said know what you're getting into. A computer with at least 4 gigabytes of RAM, plenty of hard disk space to hold your footage, and enough processing power that your computer won't get bogged down with the huge files is going to be extremely necessary before you've trimmed them down. Jeff, I don't know what the ideal processing power is nowadays.
Probably around 4 gig. Although, you know, I've been using this black MacBook from, like, 2007. It's got 2 gig. I've been using it for, like, I don't know, five years now, and it's run fine. So newer MacBooks go with 4.
Well, 4 gig of RAM, or RAM, are you talking RAM. About... What about processing power?
Processing power... Let me double-check what I've got. And what I've got is not enough. But
I'm not sure what I have. I've never tried to make a video on my laptop. I've only used it on my parents' computer, and I don't remember what theirs had, but I know it's an old computer, so it's not very much.
Yeah, my processor is 2.16 gigahertz dual core.
That's pretty good, but mm-hmm. probably if you really want to, you know, if you don't have a lot of patience, you need more.
Oh yeah,
that.
Definitely need patience with those stats.
Sorry.
Oh, go for it.
Could you use an external hard drive? Because I know it works if you say you want to throw a game onto it, but I know it kind of sometimes it's difficult for it to shuffle through.
Yeah,
so
if you
had an external hard drive?
If you want to use an external, I'd recommend something high speed like FireWire 800 or USB 3.0 so that when you are seeking through video, you're not lagging on the bus speed.
Yeah, because, I mean, but also remember that... freeing up hard disk space, it helps, but it's not nearly as helpful as increasing your memory or increasing your processing power.
For sure. And actually, putting stuff on your external hard drive it most definitely will hurt performance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know because the main reason I was asking, just for the people who are listening, you'd be like, hey, can I use an external hard drive? Because I used it for gaming to put World of Warcraft on there because, you know, you lose space because of the updates. So.
Yeah.
I understood that it lagged a bit. So, all right. So, you could use one in theory, but you probably don't want to.
Yeah. And that's actually how I made a couple of videos, because I had the DVD rips and no space on my hard drive, on my internal hard drive, so I had to use an external. I just took the performance hit. I imagine in games like World of Warcraft, it'll take longer to load at first, but once everything's in memory, it should be fine. So, yeah.
And just to dispel any... thoughts out there that, oh, well, I could just put smaller clips into the program. Well, the only way to get smaller clips is to either downgrade your video quality, which you obviously don't want to do, as we've already spoken about, or use shorter lengths. But the problem is video editing software requires that you upload your source material, which is usually the entire episode, into the program before you can start trimming. And the more episodes you're using, the more time it's going to take to use your program.
Yep, all true.
I said this is the last thing I have here for as far as tips. I said if you're going to manipulate footage, this is Avatar specific. If you're going to manipulate footage, you have to be sure to do it in an effective way, because hardcore fans like us have seen the footage you're using a million times. So if you're going to change it, like flipping it horizontally or playing it in reverse, we're going to know. Like,
for sure.
you're not gonna trick us. You're not gonna, oh, they're gonna sneak that in there. I mean, it's okay to do it, but just make sure that the way you're using it is effective and it has a purpose to expand your story, not just doing it because you need it to do some, just out of convenience.
And I've seen a couple videos will do this. They'll actually speed up the video, which at times they do just because, and sometimes they do it to help it match the beat. You definitely notice when you speed up video, because it goes from being 15 frames per second to 30, and it's a lot smoother, and it just looks different, and if you don't do it well, it really makes the whole video suffer. So if you speed up video, I'd recommend you doing something to drop the frame rate so it actually looks normal. But up
yeah, there. So wait, yeah. If you... What is standard frame rate? Because I thought when I was making my video, I was pretty sure it was at 24 frames per second.
Well, that's real video, yeah. But like the actual different frames in an Avatar episode, in a cartoon episode, they're much more spaced out, like 15 frames per second. So like that's why the bending moves and other movements are not as smooth, just because they don't want to draw 24 frames per second. It'll take way too long.
Oh.
So, yeah. Interesting tidbit. So that was those are your thoughts for
that was all of my thoughts on the actual process of making a video.
Nice.
I have other thoughts on the artistic aspects, but
okay.
As far as the nitty gritty, that's all I had.
All right. Well, we're getting into what makes great videos great and mediocre videos mediocre. So I guess that's a good time for everyone to talk about their artistic preferences and tastes. So why don't we just go through the horn? Josh, Crystal, Delaney, Ryan, and Haley, why don't you each discuss things that you know you like about videos artistically?
Okay, I'll try to make this fast because I had some more stuff here. I basically classify videos as far as Avatar music videos. I classify them in three different ways. The first is story. There's story videos, and there's different ways to express story. But for songs with lyrics or any video that sends a message, this is extremely crucial that you have a story. The story has to be coherent. You shouldn't have to read the video description or have seen the show to understand the story. Obviously, we've all seen the show, but what I'm saying is if an outside person that has never seen the show can't understand what you're trying to say with your video, then you need to work more on your story. Some videos do require that you see the show, and some of these are okay, but these are more fan service videos. And a lot of times it's just for a brief time in a few second clip in the middle of the overall video. Story videos don't require effects, and sometimes if you use them too much, as we've said before, it can interfere with the story. That's what I had on story videos.
Okay, cool, thanks. Crystal, what about you?
Well, I kind of follow what Josh says, that I categorize videos into different categories. There's story videos, like he said, and then I have action videos, which are just straight up a bunch of action clips with upbeat music. And story videos, I'm not particularly very picky on them, because if they tell a good story and have a good song that goes with it, then I'm pretty impressed. But action videos, if it's just clips and music, like you were saying earlier, if it doesn't match the beat of the music or doesn't have any just look about it where you're really, really impressed, it's just not good to me.
Very good. Yeah, I'm similar. I'll get into that later. Delaney, how about you?
Well, once again, with the story videos, you know, you always like those. But the big thing, I think, is that, yeah, telling a story, but make sure that, I mean, just really, to me, the big thing is that the clips fit the song. That not necessarily with the dynamics, but definitely, like, there's a theme. That it's not just this random song you like and these clips, but they just fit together, and you're like, oh, I understand why you picked these clips, and this really matches up. And then this is more of just a really personal preference, but I really like the when you have, like, things from a musical, and they just hash together the characters. I think that those are always really good, and to me, that's because that's showing that you know how to lip-sync your characters in the videos. And then I'm not too big on the effects. I mean, I like them, but you don't throw 500 of them in there, and you're not even really seeing the clips. You're just seeing effect after effect after effect. And then one last thing, I don't like it going too fast. Like, I mean, you know, use it to effect in the music, fitting a dynamic, but don't have the entire video just this blur, and you have no idea what you just saw.
Nice. Okay.
Can I add something to that?
Oh, yeah.
When she said something about the lip-syncing videos, those really bother me, because I have seen some very, very bad lip-syncing videos where people just put random clips in there that don't even match.
Oh, well, I mean,
for the sake of the video, the lips moving,
Good ones.
A mistake I made in the video that I created, I would sometimes use lip-syncing, and then sometimes I wouldn't. So sometimes the characters would be talking with no words, sometimes there'd be words and the characters wouldn't be saying anything, and then sometimes it would match up perfectly. It's something I, you know, was really lazy about, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there are really good ones.
Yes, there are.
Like, there are some that are, like, exactly, like, words match up with the lip sync, and those are the ones that are really good. There's just the ones that have talking while there's nothing there, or the video clip has someone talking but there's just music.
Yeah, that's really bad. I don't want that.
And like I said, I'm fine with either way if it matches up perfectly or if it doesn't match up at all. But it's inconsistency, which is annoying, which is what is in my video. The inconsistency is what bothers me when I watch my video. I'm like, oh, that was matched up so perfectly, and then now they're just not moving their lips at all. What's going on?
Yeah, I try and do it sparingly, if at all. I mean, if they're moving their lips, I usually don't use the scene, unless I can get it to work with what they're saying. So, yeah.
I'm usually not a fan of the videos where you put real life trailers and turn it to the Avatar version, but I've seen a couple good ones out there.
Yeah. Oh, that's I watched one that was for The Hangover. I saw that one. Did you see that one?
That one was so good.
It was so good. It made me laugh a lot. It was the best one I saw.
I'm gonna have to look that one up.
It was very funny.
Okay, Ryan, what about you?
Well, I really like the action-y ones more than the story ones, and specifically when, like, the most powerful bending moves are matched with outbeats, and I really like the rock music, mostly. And a thing on lip-syncing, I don't know, it's usually not for me. Even if it's done well, it just kind of annoys me, because I know what they're saying. But, just, I don't know.
For sure. Oh, cool. And Haley, you were talking about stuff you liked earlier, but anything else you'd like to say about?
I'm more for, like, the ones with a story. I like things that have, like, a central idea or theme. Like, it's just, as long as, like, the music complements it and the story makes sense and is consistent, those are the ones that I really like because they give me feels and they make me happy. But, like, the ones that, like, there are some action ones that I do like. But, like, as soon as I saw, like, it was one that that was with Sokka and it had, like, the song I'll Make a Man Out of You with a bunch of action clips of Sokka fighting, I just can't watch any of them anymore.
If you'd like me to round out my thoughts about this, I was talking about how there's three, so there's story and there's action, and part of the one I wanted to mention on action is action doesn't really require a story or message, but it still requires progression and forward momentum. The way to illustrate this, there's at the end of the classical period of music, at the beginning of romantic. Music started to go in two different ways. There was the Beethoven way, which was programmatic music, which was music that specifically spoke of non-musical things. And then there was music that was more like music that Schubert wrote, which was just music for music's sake. And it's kind of analogous to story and action videos. Action videos are just videos with music and action for action's sake, but it still requires, you know, Schubert's music still had progression and forward movement. So you still have to have change and variety and action. It can't just be all in your face. You have to follow the contour of the music. And what helps with this is for the music that you use to almost always be instrumental. Because if you use music with lyrics, you can get mixed messages.
Yeah, I think it's very hard to do good transitions in that all the action scenes that are different.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, if it's not done right, kind of falls flat in his face.
The last thing I wanted to say, actually, it might be two things, sorry, and feel free to interrupt at any time. There's also a third kind of video that I've noticed, which is trailers. We've kind of mentioned them a few times. Trailers kind of fall... They fall somewhere... I figured this was the third one you were talking about, too. Yes. They fall somewhere in the middle between story and action. They don't require an actual story. But the reason I love the trailer that Raven made was, like I was talking about, it has those one-word themes, and with trailers, you can't just... It needs something short of a story. And, I mean, they're really self-explanatory, because we've all seen trailers, we all know what they're supposed to look like, so... But it's that's less discussion there, but it's just more of what I wanted to say. But the example that I've used and thinking about is Raven's Remember the Name trailer, which is widely considered one of the best trailers that's been made. But there's another trailer that uses the same song by a user named Thelgdemon, Thelgdemon. These two trailers really illustrate really well what I'm talking about here, because the Raven trailer is more of an action trailer. It's almost completely instrumental except for the chorus, and it doesn't really have an exact story or message, but it kind of feels, it almost has that trailer quality, you know, where there's still, it feels like more of an action trailer. This other video, though, it's really interesting because it matches up Aang, Sokka, and Zuko, all three, with the three different rappers that do raps in the song, and it includes the lyrics in the verses. Raven's video is a little bit higher quality, both speaking video quality and just the video is a little bit better. But I really love the other video too because of its specificity with story. I can link those two videos too. We'll just link everything in the forums so you all know what we're talking about.
Sweet. I think there's also another category that's not really paid attention to very much, which is funny, and it's just more of those videos that are meant to be jokes almost, not really story or not really action or trailers, but just kind of there. Kind of like the Avatar the Musical thing that I showed on Skype the other day, or like a few hours ago. No, that wasn't a few hours ago.
There's obviously videos that fall in between the cracks or overlap in one or more.
Actually, the very first Avatar music video I ever saw was "Are You Gonna Be My Girl" by Jet, and it was just funny to watch. It wasn't done especially well, but it was just a fun video, fun clips. Yeah, it was good.
You guys should all go watch Iroh Pimp Master.
Oh yeah.
And there's Avatar Robot Pill, which is like from Futurama with an Avatar crossover. Oh, it's great.
I saw that one.
Of you ever seen Teen Titans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I saw one video, and it was the Teen Titans theme song, but it was Avatar version.
Oh, that's great.
And it was actually very, very good. Like, it looked real.
Okay, that's on my to-watch list now.
All the links.
Yes.
I'll have to post it somewhere.
Nice. So,
just sort of forum what we talk about in podcasts.
Yeah, no, yeah, we'll 81. Put it all in the thread for this minicast. It'd be great. So when I watch a video, I'm with Ryan. I'm all about the action ones. I don't really follow the story ones too much. Mm-hmm. And a couple things that I like and don't like about it. I like if it, you know, takes me on a journey through the Avatar world. You know, if there's some sort of logical progression between the clips, if it's not just random. But I do not like if it ever uses the same clip twice, unless it's done really good. It's just
terrible.
Takes you out of the viewing experience, yeah. And like I said before, cut to the beat, you know. What I love is when you can get an action scene where it's framing, you know, a guy or two guys or whatever in a certain stance, and then you can cut to a different scene where the same guy is in a similar stance and he continues with, you know, whatever movement he was doing in the second scene. And if it can just flow through that, that's just, you know, beauty to my eyes. So yeah, that's what I look for in videos. And great, that's everyone. Sweet. So we're getting a bit long on time, but I just want to talk about one more thing, and we'll just run through quickly. It's what songs we would like to be made into videos. And, you know, if you have any listeners out there with wanting a song to do, take a suggestion, maybe. So, let's go in reverse order from what we were doing before. Haley, why don't you start off? Any songs that you think would make good videos?
I'm into shipping videos. Mm-hmm. I love shipping. And there's this song, it's called Beside You by Marianas Trench, and it's just, I think it's like, the lyrics are very shippy, I guess you could say, like, if that's not even a word, but whatever. But it's just very, it go very well with a shipping video.
Okay, cool. Ryan, what about you? Any songs or
Well, I just thought about this when you mentioned it earlier, but there's a song called Handlebars by Flobot.
Yes.
And I think that would do great with some kind of Amon video.
Hey, yeah.
An uprising kind of thing.
That actually would be good. I mean, I've thought about like an official music video being like, you know, montage culminating in a nuclear explosion or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can even end with the boat explosion.
Yeah. Mushroom Cloud. Sweet. Great. Delaney, what about you?
Well, I have just three songs real quick. The Pieces by Red. And it's kind of like what Haley was saying, sort of a shippy thing. And I see it really with Mako, because it's just, you kind of have to listen to the song, and I love it desperately. And it'd be really sad and just slow. And then, I'm sure everyone's heard the song Do You Know by Enrique Iglesias. Everyone know that song?
I've probably heard it, but I can't recall how it goes.
It's the ping pong song. It's also what it's known as.
Yes.
And it'd be something fun, and just, it could be kind of a, I could see it being an Aang Katara thing, or really Sokka Yue, anything, really. And then, I Won't See You Tonight, Part 1 by Avenged Sevenfold, which I could see being, Season 2, specifically, The Fall of Ba Sing Se. It's really sad, and it's about, well, it's really more about suicide, but, I mean, it works with death of any sort.
Nice.
That ends my spiel.
Sweet. Crystal, what about you?
Honestly, if you think of any song, you could probably find an Avatar video for it. So, off the top of my head, I can't really think of a song that I would want to be put in a video, because every song that I already can think of is already in a video.
Uh-huh. Well, so, there you go. You're happy. How about you, Josh? Any songs you like?
I have a couple ideas. I guess that's kind of the theme of this podcast so far. For story songs, there's a really great British band. It's actually my favorite band, called Keen, K-E-A-N-E. They're not incredibly popular. I guess I'm showing my hipster side here, but I would really love to see some shipping videos or some story videos using some of their songs. The language is really romantic, and the good artistic language in their songs. Plus, they're really nice pop rocky songs. Or Coldplay. You can never have too much Coldplay. For action songs, there's some already by this band called Muse. They're more popular.
Love
I think
Muse.
A lot more people know Muse. Muse videos are always really good. Hmm. Almost always. But something more specific I'd really like to see with action videos. Is some more use of just straight-up classical music, more from the late Romantic era, like Tchaikovsky Mahler or that kind of stuff. Just straight-up, not remixed, not danced version, not, you know, with a drum beat behind it. Just straight-up, like, Swan Lake finale with...
Do you know Convergence by Mahler? Is it Mahler, or am I thinking the wrong person? Yeah, it's Mahler.
I'm not sure.
It's also called Resurrection. Sorry, I'm getting a little music nerdy.
The Resurrection Symphony?
Yes.
Yes, that's Symphony 2, isn't it?
I just know it as Convergence and Resurrection. I think it is probably Symphony 2.
Maybe it is. So, maybe it's not.
I think that'd
I'm not
be
sure.
Really good. Oh, it's so
there's,
sad. And,
yeah, there's some really good... The Adagietto from Mahler 5 is really good, too. That could be really used effectively with Azula or Tarlok and Amon's backstory.
Well, I am not as cultured as y'all, so...
No.
We played it in orchestra last year, so I was just like, Convergence!
Nice.
Cass, Mahler is R-rated. You shouldn't play Mahler until you're 18.
Oh. All right. Good
Too bad.
For me, pretty much any Linkin Park song is great for a Zuko montage. You know, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll bet you there Zuko isn't videos. A single... Oh, sorry?
Sorry, I was just saying I love Zuko videos.
Yes. Yes. One of my favorite videos that I made is a Zuko montage, so it's great. There's a song I plan on doing a music video for imminently. It's called Watch Me by Shake It Up.
That song is catchy.
Yeah, I want to do it for a Korra music video. The problem is, I don't believe there's enough Korra fighting footage for me to make a good video. I'm going to pick and choose the best one. So
maybe I'll pro ending.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I might have to wait for season 2 to come out, and then Hopefully the 6 month gap isn't too jarring for viewers. We'll see.
Pro bending is not effective action video footage.
Well, I mean, I
sometimes
video,
it is.
Yeah.
Definitely agree.
I saw the there's a a Starships by Nicki Minaj video.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it had some. I mean, it's good beats. So you know, I don't care about the story. Good beats are all of that. So, and it had some pro bending stuff, and so I didn't realize until I watched that how good it could be. Unfortunately, they used the clips multiple times, so that kind of was not good.
I mean, I saw a good one with For Your Entertainment. I don't know who does that song.
I saw that one.
That was really good. They actually used it pretty effectively since it, you know, goes with the song, but continue,
yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah, we'll see. And there's a video, I would like to make this. I thought of this like 2 days ago. It's so hilarious. Any of you familiar with Bollywood films at all?
Just Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay. Well, there is a Bollywood film widely regarded as the best one called The Gone. I had to watch it for an international cinema class thingy. Loved it. Didn't think I would because it's all subtitled in an Indian. But one of the songs is called Ganan Ganan, which is like this rain praying song. I don't know. It's really funny, and I want to make a video of that to the live-action Avatar video.
That'd be great.
You need to hear the song. It's G-H-A-N-A-N, G-H-A-N-A-N, Lagan. Just search for that in like Groove Shark or something. It's so funny in my head.
If I could make one more specific suggestion, mm-hmm. somebody needs to make a video, an Iroh Luten Zuko montage to the song On the Willows from the musical Godspell. I'm just throwing that out there. Someone make that.
Yes,
we need to have Ben make a fandom decree for that to happen.
Yes.
Once again, I am not cultured enough to know what that is, but I assume it's great. So. Cool. Well, that is that. Any other last thoughts about music videos? Anything at all?
Yes.
Yes. What is that?
I'm just putting this out here, but I love a lot of the Aang and Korra videos. Like one, for example, is it took the song from Lion King 2. What is it? Oh, I gotta think of the name of the song. I forgot. Oh, yeah. He Lives in You. And they did a core video for it, but it also had a lot of Aang in it, and it was
like
actually very good.
You know, it's one of those story videos. That's sweet.
I really liked it. It was
there
like
a lot of Lion King favorites. Ones.
Lion King.
Okay,
I was
well.
Like, be prepared. It's awful.
Okay,
it's
well, long. I've enjoyed this discussion. Let's see. I've been your main host, Jeff. Many hosts have been Josh, Crystal, Delaney, Ryan, and Haley. This podcast is co-created and produced by Dylan. Dongu Feng is owned by Jake. I wish I could remember all the other stuff.
Something about AJ Kevin.
Yeah. musical remixes by Luke Tripp. Dongu
Feng
owned by Jake. What should we end on? AMVs? That's a bit too boring. Anything else?
Those beats.
Those beats.
Raven!
Those beats are Raven. What do we got?
Raven.
Raven? Alright. 1, 2, 3, Raven. Raven!
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 Woo!
For you, the listeners of the From the Spirit World podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Today I'm going to recommend The Magicians by Lev Grossman, which you can find and get your free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/FTSW. The Magicians, first of all, it's an adult novel, so I would definitely say stay away all under 16 and probably safer over 18 for reading it. It's a very good fantasy novel, kind of a mixture of Harry Potter and Narnia, but for adults. It's very good. And so, yeah, I won't give anything more away. It's definitely one of my favorite books I've read within the last few years, but remember, mature content in it. And so, audibletrial.com/FTSW. And here is our discussion on obscure Korra ships. Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar, The Last Airbender, and The Legend of Korra podcast for DongbuFang.net. If you want extensive in-depth discussion on Korra from longtime knowledgeable fans of Avatar and longtime fandom members, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by mini hosts Haley.
Hello.
Haley is Hay6747 on DF. Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah is Sarah McWeavy on DF. Katie.
Hey, hey.
Katie is Katie on DF. And Colin.
Hello.
And Colin is the Airwave on DF. This is a mini-cast where we discuss a single Avatar Korra topic for a brief time. You can email us at dylan@dongufang.net and post on the DF forums at dongufang.net/forums. Today we'll be discussing obscure Korra ships. Fun topic. Let me quickly define what that means. Basically what I think, I'm trying to say, like, minor Korra ships that are not, like, quote-unquote crack ships. So basically these pairings have some semblance of canonness in the show, while still not being a main focus in the slightest. I'll even accept ships that could theoretically happen. So basically, examples, Tanora, Tano, and Korra, that's definitely a main quote-unquote obscure ship. Bolanasami, even though that was talked about a lot, that's not really, I wouldn't consider that a major ship. So basically everything except Makora, Bora, and I'll include like Linzin in there because that was talked about on the show a few times. So yes, let's get into this. Basically I want to go through everyone and ask you, what do you obscurely ship? Let's start with Haley.
I ship Tanora. It's like my favorite one. And then I don't know if this counts, but I ship Korra and Iroh.
Yeah, sure. That can count.
Yeah, basically, I ship everyone with Korra.
Okay. Sarah, what do you obscurely ship?
I obscurely ship Haora. Basically, because in fan fiction, you can basically make up any character you want, and I think that's interesting, so.
And yeah. In case you're wondering, Haora is Howl, quote-unquote, and Korra. Howl being Hot Order of the White Lotus guy, which is what that stands for. Basically, he's the guy in episode 1 who is who Korra's like, we're just going out for a ride. Am I right? That's that guy on the guard tower? Yeah.
Well, he talked in episode 9, I think.
Is it clear that it's the same guy?
I say it is.
I don't think so.
Let's say it is, just for the purposes of Haora. Anyway, the fandom went crazy over Haora, beginning of the series. And it's got, it does have some incredible fanfiction and such. Katie, what do you obscurely ship?
Haora, because their eye contact is just so deep. Actions speak louder than words.
Makes sense to me. And Colin, do you obscurely ship anything?
Arami. Is it called Arami?
Iroh and Asami?
Yeah,
I think it is around me.
Okay,
yeah. That's a good one, too. There's a lot of basically taking everyone from Iroh, Korra, Bolin, and Asami and just combining them with each other. And then I would say I obscurely ship Jinuchi, which has even less canon than all of the other ones you guys have named, because they haven't met each other. And I would say Bolinora, but that's kind of, I think that counts as a crap ship, because that's like a future ship. And I guess Haora, because the great fan fiction and such. I'm kind of undecided on who to put Asami and Iroh with. Maybe each other.
Yeah, I ship Gnome with Asami.
Asami alone.
He can be alone. I feel so bad for her. I don't care. Bosami was like, I don't know. I shipped Bora, so Bosami is my next resort.
I hate that ship.
Well, they're all alone. I don't know.
Yeah. Asami can just be alone. I don't care.
That's mean.
She's independent.
Yes.
Strong. She don't need no man.
That's a good way of looking at it. Okay, let's go through some of these major ones, and we can discuss evidence, quote-unquote evidence for them in the show, and then why they're so awesome. Let's start with Tanora, and I assume you want to talk about Tanora, Haley.
Tanora, Evidence, See the Aftermath, episode 7. it's like canon in my mind.
So
like,
where they're sitting Tenora, down in the police room together, and Cora's like comforting Tano, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And like, Tenora has some of the best fan fiction ever, I swear. If any of you guys have read any.
I have not.
No.
I'm reading like three Tenora fan fictions at the same time.
That's talented, multitasking. But what, do you think they mesh well together personality-wise?
Yeah, I think they're both hard heads, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
They're both pretty cocky, so, yeah.
Maybe more so than Mako and Cora?
Yes.
Mako's not really cocky, though. He's just kind of...
arrogant. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say arrogant. I don't know how to describe it.
It's different.
Mako's just, like, I guess, really stubborn, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot like Cora in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What did you think of Tano and Cora in... what episode? Episode 5? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Private lessons.
Was that evidence for them shipping together their confrontation?
Yes.
Obviously.
When they were like close together, I was like, now kiss.
Yes, a couple inches. A couple more inches.
What have some of the Tenora fanfics done with them?
There's one that takes place after Tano gets his bending taken away. And it's just, like, Cora comforting him, mostly. And a lot of them are kind of inappropriate, but I'm not going to say anything about those. It's just, and then there's one that was really good, but kind of inappropriate, about Cora taking up Tano on his private lessons.
I can see that being a fanfic, definitely. What else to say on that, Tenora? Do you think there's any chance of it happening in season 2? Do you think they'll even bring Tano back?
I hope so. No. I miss Tano so much.
I don't see them being in that area much.
I don't think that if they do bring him back, it's not going to be for a long time. Like, he's not that important of a character. I think they just brought him in for pro-bending. Even though I want him to come back a lot, he could be the next person a part of Team Avatar.
Aww.
Yeah, I think he was brought in more as, like, this plot device for pro-bending. But at the same time, Mike and Brian tend to bring back characters, like, every side character ever.
Yes.
So I don't think it's that far-fetched to say, to think he would come back in season 2.
And we also have 3 more seasons, so he could definitely be brought back.
Yeah, at some point. In the 4th season, hey, here's this Tano guy from 4 years ago. And all the Tanora shippers would have not, who of course wouldn't have given up by that point.
Tanora fan art is fantastic.
Oh my god, I love it.
So many of them have, like, Mako off to the side getting really mad.
Okay, now I might want to look those up just for that, then.
Yeah, and there was this one fan fiction where, like, Mako got, like homicidal and wanted to kill Tano because Cora, like, fell in love with him. It was, like, really out of character for Mako, but I could see what, like, it was just, it was fantastic. I love jealous Mako.
That doesn't sound fantastic. That sounds scary. I assume it was done lighter than what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to, we can always come back. Let's move on to Haora. How do you pronounce it?
I say Haora, but I could be completely ignorant in the pronunciation.
It could be just Haora. It could be Haora.
Haora's so weird.
Yeah, it's the way it's spelled, H-O-W-R-R-A. You'd think it would be, wait, is it R-R-A?
Yeah, it's R-R-A.
Do you think it would be Haora, but at the same time, Haora kind of makes sense too. Anyway, so we told you who Howl was. Basically, the evidence for Haora
that one scene in episode one, and if you think it's the same guy, then was it episode 9 or 10?
I want to think 9.
Right?
Yeah. Or yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay. But either way.
I mean, this ship just reminds me of that. Like, there's just meme out there. It's like two characters, whoever so much glances at each other, hey, let me ship it for you. Like, there's always a ship, just like the two characters just have like the slightest glance. I don't know.
That's exactly what it is. And the crazy thing is that how many people started shipping this right away. I didn't remember this guy and had to look up who he was for a while.
I didn't even know about this ship.
Until when?
I just looked up I looked it up on Google Images. Oh my god.
And I mean, it's so, Mike and Brian, I think, have commented on it. Other members of the staff. It's pretty hilarious. I kind of support Howara, but just for the theoretical background story between them.
Yeah.
Like, they grew up together. He was, like, Korra has no friends in this compound, no one her age to talk
yes.
to except Howara.
I read a fan fiction that was exactly like that.
I mean, I think they're all like that. And it's a really cute,
this guy in the picture,
story.
Like, the screenshot of that episode he's first in, he looks so sad because he can't be with Korra.
Makes sense.
He's hot.
Well, that's
I'll
in his name. And it's, everything about this is ridiculous, from what they named him to the circumstances. But I do like the theoretical upbringing story, and it's something that's done in a lot of like stereotypical like main couples for a show or something. Like, they grow up together and such. And we're given so little of Korra's background that it's easy to try to fill in the holes with these type of things, I would say.
By the end of season 4, Korra might not even be with Mako. She might be with this really hot White Lotus guy.
Well, at the very least, we know that they're together at the beginning of season 2 now.
Yeah, but it says that they're trying to maintain their relationship, so that could be the demise.
And Howara would jump in.
They need a breakup. I like Korra, but they need a breakup.
I don't know. I kind of ship Korra, but I don't know what I'm saying. Never mind.
The more drama and ships, the better.
Well, I don't know. It's gotten pretty ridiculous in fandom. Like, this, like, last few months, like, it's become a war. And it's become, I don't know. I think it'd be scary.
Shipping wars are fantastic.
Well, let's try to stay focused on the obscure ships here.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much Korra. Okay, let's move. We can come. First of all, someone mentioned Howara fanfic, but any other awesome fanfics you can think of?
Oh my gosh. Not fanfic, but a YouTube video. It's like a 30-second video, and it's just blasting this love song, and it's just great. Yeah, look it up.
To that one scene of them?
What?
Is there anything more than that one scene of them looking at each other in that 30-second video?
No, it's just them looking back and forth at each other.
That sounds pretty good. We should look that up after. Okay. Okay, let's move on to Bosami.
Yeah.
I think Bosami has a little bit of backing in when Bolin and Asami talk to each other in episode... I don't know.
Nine, yeah.
Okay. And other than that, they don't really talk to each other. They're kind of standing next to each other sometimes. I guess...
They get stuck with each other a lot.
I guess the logic between Bosami is that Korra and Mako are together and Bolin and Asami have their hearts broken, so they might as well be together.
He also comes to save her at the end when he's like, when she's getting attacked by...
that's like the best Bosami scene in episode 12, yeah. That's pretty awesome. Anyone genuinely ship Bosami?
I hate Bosami so much.
It's so forced.
Why do you hate Bosami?
It's growing on me. I hate it.
What? Is it offensive to you?
Yes, I ship Bora so hard.
Okay, then.
Oh, I know. I'll always ship Bora. If Bosami happened, I'd cry.
I don't necessarily ship Bora, but I like it, but I would still ship Bosami if it...
I think Bolin is too immature for Asami.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But opposites
attract.
But he
has his moments of seriousness a lot.
But, like, hardly whenever he does. It's like, for what, like 30 seconds? Then he goes back to being the comic relief.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Like, Bolin is supposed to have a love interest in season two. I mean, Bryke said in an interview that it's supposed to be like a bizarre love story.
Okay, let's move on to, what's it called? Asami and Ira, what's the ship name for it?
Arami.
Arami. Who ships Arami?
I do.
Why
do I
do. Do you ship it?
If it's canon, I'll go with it.
I semi ship it.
What's so appealing about Arami?
I mean,
they're both
it's just like
sexy.
Okay, Colin.
Okay, I just think, like, you know, Asami needs some, like, macho firebender guy. I mean, like, that's why I think she won for Mako in the first place, other than that, like, she just has to go for some hot firebender guy, so Arrow's the only one left.
They look really good together.
Is there anything beyond their appearances?
No. Well, like how I said, like, Bolin is too immature for Asami. I think Iroh would be good for Asami.
Because he's, like, 10 years older than her.
We don't know that.
I think
Bryke said that he was, like, in his late 20s, early 30s. What, didn't they?
Tenzin's 16 years older than Pima.
Unless they said that at Comic-Con, did they?
I have no idea.
Asami's like
I know I heard it somewhere.
Okay. Because I don't remember that from an interview. I mean, I see him as like 25 or maybe less than that. So I think it could work. Any good Arami fanfics?
A lot of good pictures.
Yes.
More the fan art.
Yeah. I'm sure there's fanfics for it out there. Okay. How about Korra and Iroh? What's that one called?
Oh, gosh.
Iora, yeah.
What do you think of that?
Best ship ever.
Nah.
Yes. I mean, if you're going for, like, evidence in the show, like, people can make the argument that, like, Korra saves Iora from, like, drowning pretty much and dying in the ocean. And
Little
then,
Mermaid.
Yeah, that
was, like, the exact replication of Little Mermaid in my eyes.
And, like, when she's healing him in the... And Gamu's, what's his name? What's the homeless guy's name?
Gomu.
Gomu, that's right. Like when she's healing him there. So, I mean, that's probably like what people are saying. That's like evidence for it.
Koro has some really good fan fiction. Almost as good as Tenora.
What other ships? Jinuchi? I could talk about Jinuchi.
Oh my god.
Jinuchi.
First of all, there's adorable fan art of them.
Yes.
And it's
so
like
cute.
The best thing ever. And second of all, okay, let's first evidence in the show, absolutely nothing. Other than the fact that Jinuchi is the closest one to Jinora's age that we can find, and we must ship Jinora with someone.
Yes.
Because her description said she's starting to take notice to boys. Like, why would they put that in there if it didn't have some relevance soon?
Her description said that?
which is why I think this is how this all started. And basically the fanfics I've read of them, they're all Jinora's like this councilman's daughter, and Scoochie's this street urchin, the street guy, and they meet and they have different cultures.
Yes.
And it's kind of the Titanic thing. And it's like, and I don't know, Tenzin probably wouldn't approve, but Jinora likes him, and such and such. And it's all very cute. And it's then they're 10 and 12, so it's adorable.
Mm-hmm. They're really smart, too. Each of them are smart in their own ways.
Well, we've seen one scene of Scoochie, but okay. That's the problem with Jinuchi, though. Scoochie has not come back yet. I thought he would.
Do you think possibly that they're going to, like, yeah, it's a bizarre, like, love story for Bolin. Do you think it's probably going to be, like, Jinora and Bolin,
well,
maybe?
That would make my life, but no.
Because okay, I've read like a few Jinuchi fanfics. I've read 1,000 Bolin, not 1,000, like 5 Bolinora ones. And they're, you first of all, they all advance the age like 6 or 8 years. And okay, noise. And it's amazing because Bolin, this, they all like are around when Bolin gets rejected by Korra and such. And so it's, we need a pair of Bolin up with someone. Let's do Jinora. Except then, except in episode 8, it seems like Bolin and Iki, which is even more of an age gap.
It seemed like Jinora would like Mako more.
Yeah, she did say she thought Mako was cute.
Because he is.
But either yep. way. Anyway, but the, I don't think they'll, they won't, that they won't be that a bizarre for Bolin. I think it might be a spirit or something.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Interesting either way. So what happened? Okay, we've talked about a lot of stuff. What, any ones we haven't talked about you guys can think of?
Would, never mind. Never mind. What about that doorman in Korra? Well, never mind. That's not obscure, but
that's originated by Bill Rinaldi. He's like a coordinating producer or something. The doorman character is based on him, so he ships it a lot on Tumblr.
Wait, what character? Wait.
The doorman voiced by Kevin Michael Richardson in episode 3. The revelation is upon us, my brother and sister. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, because they fight and stuff, so totally canon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to talk about Amon and Lieutenant?
Yes.
Why is this canon?
Because Lieutenant has so much love for Amon. He said
he gave his life for him. Yeah, exactly.
That's love right there.
Yeah. But then Amon,
at least a crush.
It's like the most tragic love story though, because Amon's gone now, and Lieutenant felt betrayed, and yeah.
All relationships have their up and down.
They're up and down, getting blown up. Yeah. I do want to see Lieutenant at some point.
But didn't he die? Wasn't it like a
I think he died.
I want him to be dead, but...
Oh, he could have died, but no.
I don't know how many times, like, he's fallen off of something that was really high up.
And he survived. He died. Yeah, it's okay.
He's like
alive.
Immortal.
He's alive right now, yeah. Don't worry about that. Other Amon ships would all be considered cracked, so we shouldn't do those.
No Amora.
Asami and Korra. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, why haven't we... What's
that
it called again?
That is such a good one.
Korsami?
Kurami.
Okay, Kurami, yeah. I've seen people who ship this very hard.
Asami did say that she liked Korra in
episode
10.
Yeah, she did. It's getting good.
I like Korra, It totally is canon.
And you know, when people say like, it means love in Avatar.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Animal ships? Naga and Pabu?
Pabu and Naga, yes!
And are they as much canon as Appa and Momo?
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Well, Naga did chase after Pabu in that one scene.
Equally canon.
Equally canon, those two. Okay. Okay, what else do I have on the outline? So,
who would we ship Milo with?
Milo and Asami, because Milo has a crush on Asami, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You're pretty. Can I have some of your hair?
I love the beginning of episode 8. That was the greatest.
I love Milo so much.
Milo's great.
I ship him with me.
I do hope they have a time skip at some point so we can see, like, all three of the Air Kids having some sort of ships and such.
Yes.
I guess it would have to be a pretty significant one to have Milo be involved in shipping. 10-year time skip. Let's do it. I would be in favor. Okay. Unless we have any others to discuss, I think that's a good time. I think we're about half an hour, a little less. Okay, I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Haley, Sarah, Katie, Colin. I produce and host podcasts, Diamond Fang's Owned by Jake. And so, yeah, write us in, tell us what obscure ships you ship, post on the podcast forums in this thread, and we can discuss some of these. Or just post on the DF forums in general, dongfang.net/forums. So let's end on, how about each person says their favorite obscure ship?
Oh my okay? God.
That's how we'll end it. Okay, one, two, three.
Tanora!
Tommy!